We're holding on Sadiq Bey's, Omer Bey's, three lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of figuring out whether when we say that a worker is allowed to eat on the job, as we've been talking about the last few blocks, is that Mishal Shamayim? Is that something that Hashem grants him as like tzedakah? Or is it Mishaloi? Is it a bonus, like, and it's considered his property? We said the nafkamina would be whether he'd be allowed to, whether if he tells the owner of the place, instead of me eating, my wife or children will eat instead, would he have the right to do that? If it's Mishaloi hu oichel, then he'd be entitled to. If it's Mishal Shamayim, then no, because only Hashem gives him, only him the right to eat and not to transfer it to anybody else. So we've been discussing that at length, beginning on Amud Aleph and continuing throughout the whole Amud Beis. In that connection, then we brought a Braisa, we brought the next Mishnah versus a Braisa. One, the next Mishnah says that that a person can make a deal in advance about himself or his wife or his older children or his older eved and shivcha that they're not going to eat and instead they're going to get paid extra. But he can't do that on behalf of his little children because they don't have das. His little children or his little eved or shivcha. Now, though, we had a braisa by Rav Hoshea that said that that he could do it on behalf of even of his avodim knanim, even if they're ktanim. So we were discussing what would be the difference between them. One possibility that the Gemara brought up is maybe we're talking about that maybe is there a distinction whether he's supporting them or not? So if we say that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about when he's supporting them, the Malala and Mizonis, the Gemara called it, then the only difference would be whether we say Mishaloi hu oichol, which in that case then he's entitled to make deals. About that the Eved or the Shivcha won't eat because instead he's supporting them and instead they're going to get paid extra and that extra pay will go to him versus Mishal Shamayim who Oichel, which would say that he can't do that. The last thing we said then is that no, both of them might agree Mishaloi hu Oichel, the difference would be whether Malalahan Mizonis is he in fact supporting them or not. So the Mishnah would be talking about that he's not supporting them, therefore he has no right to make a deal that on behalf of his children or his avodim or his minor eved or shivcha who have no das, whereas according to the Braisa would be saying we according to the Braisa would be talking about when he is supporting them and therefore he'd be able to. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimta." So how have we established so far? We're saying that the Braisa is talking about the Malalahan Mizonis, that it's talking about that he is supporting them. Ihochi, well, if that's so, Tanim Nami Nekutzlahu, then why shouldn't he be able to do that on behalf of children as well? And really, actually, Tosfos says the question isn't even really on how we just explain the Braisa. The question would be in general, why is it, if he's able to do it on behalf of his minor Eved or Shivcha, why is the Braisa saying that he's not allowed to do it on behalf of his minor, of his own minor children? So the Gemara says the difference is tzarayu debnoyu bitaktanim. Because we can answer that Hashem does not grant him the rights over the tsar of his children when they're working and they're not able to eat. They're not going to have the das to understand that this is because Tati made an arrangement with the boss where we're not going to eat and return he's going to get paid more. They're not capable of understanding such things because they don't have das. As far as they know, there's tsar. We have all this juicy fruit in front of them and we're not and in front of us and we're not able to eat it. And that the Torah is not being mizak to him. When we say when we say Rachmana, usually means the Torah. Strictly speaking, really, the Tosfos points out that we're talking about a din derabanan over here, because the concept that a father owns the ma'aseh adeihem, the earnings of his children, is midrabanan. We've learned about it in Ksubas and in other places that it's in order that the father shouldn't feel badly disposed towards them. They're taking so much from me and they're not giving anything in return. So Tosfos says, okay, Rachmana means in a looser sense here, it means the Chachamim. There is in fact a girsa rabbanon, or the other possibility Tosfos distinguishes between between whether it's a boy or a girl. A girl, her ma'aseh adeha belonged to her father, min ha-Torah, because after all, the father has the ability to sell her as a shifcha, to sell her as an omer hevriya. Therefore, to that extent, we can say we can talk about Rachmana, we can talk about Hashem granting him the rights to her ma'aseh adeha. With a boy, then yes, it would be only dirabon. Anyway, so you could say that's the difference, that that Hashem or the Chachamim, as the case may be, don't give him rights over their tzar. Okay, the Gemara says, fine, so you say in the Mishnah, the next Mishnah that we're going to come up to soon now, on Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, is talking about where he's not supporting them, and therefore that's why he's not allowed to make any deal on behalf of his Eved or Shifcha when they're little, because then we'll say he's not supporting them, and therefore by what right does he have to say that they can't even eat on the job? Well, hanichal amanda omer, that would work well according to the opinion ein harav yochal loymel eved asei mi ve'en izana, that a master, we learned about this in Gittin and other places, that whether a master has the right to say to his eved knani asei mi ve'en izana, you work for me but I'm not obligated to support you, meaning you can go and you can go and beg for tzedakah, and since an Eved Kanani is considered a semi-Jew, then people will give you tzedakah. So there is such an opinion. There's an opinion that the master can't do that. So then Shapir, well then fine, then we understand. Because he's not able to do that, therefore now also he's not able to say to the Eved, well, you're going to work with me together, and we're going to work together on harvesting Pliny's field, but you're not going to be allowed to eat. So the Mishnah is saying he can't do that, even though the idea is he would want to go to the guy in advance and say, my Eved and I won't eat, and in return you'll pay us more money. But if he's not even supporting the Eved, where he's not supposed to be doing that anyway, he has to support the Eved, then we would say he doesn't have the right to do that because the Eved has to be fed, because he has a responsibility to feed the Eved, and therefore in this case, if he's not going to do it himself, then it has to come out of the work that he's doing. So if you say that, then fine. But according to the opinion that the master could say such a thing, he could say to the Eved, you work for me, I'm not obligated to support you, you can go beg for a living or whatever. So then what are you going to say? Why shouldn't he be able to, even though he's not supporting them, fine, why should he still not be able to make a deal that's going to prevent them from eating on the job over there, from eating from the food? So that explanation doesn't work, because otherwise we have a machlokas amiroyim on that point, and that Mishnah is not being brought one way or the other as a proof. Ella, no, we're going to answer Aidi v'Aidi b'she'en ma'alo lehen mezonos. Rather, we're going to say, after all, that the Braisa and the Mishnah are both talking about where the master is not supporting the Eved, or b'chol kligi, that can be the very machlokas, the marasava yochol, marasava en yochol. The Braisa holds that even so, even though he's not supporting them, the master says, fine, he's not obligated to support them. Therefore, he's able to make a deal with the guy he's worked with, the guy that he and his Eved are working for, that he's not going to be able to eat on the job and will be paid more. And that extra pay will go to the owner of the Eved, and the Eved himself is out in the cold. Omar Sava, whereas the Mishnah, their upcoming Mishnah, holds Ein Yochol, that he can't do that. So that would be another way of understanding the machlokas that doesn't require us to say that they're arguing on the point of Mishaloi hu oichol or Mishal Shamayim hu oichol. Well, then the question is, well, then it comes out then in that machlokas of whether the master is able to say that to the Eved, Rab Yochanan is the one who says Yochol Harav. Does that mean Rab Yochanan would be ignoring the Mishnah and following the Braisa? You're telling me that the Mishnah, that the upcoming Mishnah is saying that he can't make such a deal on behalf of his Eved, an Eved who's an adult, then fine, he's able to be Moichel. So therefore we can say, because he has Das, he's able to be Moichel, therefore you're able to make such a condition with him. But the coming Mishnah is saying that for a Kotten, that for an Eved Kotten or Shifcha, who's a Ketana, you can't do that because they have no Das, and because we're talking about over here, where he's not supporting them, and the Mishnah is going to be implying that he's not allowed to, that he as a master is required to support his avodim. He can't tell them, "Asei mi vein izanach." Well, then Rabbi Yochanan, it comes out, it's going to be following only a braisa over the Mishnah, and we know that a Mishnah always has greater authority and greater weight. So that answer doesn't work. Rather, we're going to say that both the Mishnah and the braisa say that when the worker is eating is Mishel Shamayim. It is something that's special tzedakah that Hashem grants him, which therefore, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, means that he's not going to be able to transfer that benefit to somebody else. V'loy motzi kotzitz. So therefore, so he's not able to make such a deal in the first place to prevent other people from eating from himself. For himself, fine. If he wants to deny himself to eat, we learned at the beginning of the we learned at the beginning of this whole din. A few blocks ago, kanafshecha, he can be like the balabas, just like the balabas himself is not obligated to eat. Neither is the worker. But we would say now, if we say mishal shemayim hu'oichel, then he's not able to make a deal that would prevent any other worker from eating, whether they're katan or whether they're a gadol. Or my koitzitz. So what do we mean koitzitz, that he makes a deal in advance? That would be a domer of oshia mizonis. That Rav Hoshia says that we're talking about that he makes a deal that to begin with, the owner of the field is going to give them a lot of food and to begin with before they work, so that they won't be hungry while they're harvesting and they won't want to eat the grapes. As we learned before, we learned a few blocks ago, the worker is allowed, under normal circumstances, the worker is allowed to take steps that will increase his appetite. We said, for example, he can dip bread in sir or some kind of condiment like that that will stimulate his appetite, so he'll eat more. Meanwhile, the balabas, on the other hand, is allowed to offer them food so that they'll eat less. So now, in this case, the koitzitz would be not that he's making a deal, we won't eat on the job, even though we would like to, and you're going to pay us extra. Rather, the deal is that we're saying you're going to give us extra food to begin with, so that by the time we begin the work, we're going to be stuffed, and we're not going to be interested in eating any of your grapes. So that could work. So then in that case, we could say that with an eved. So we're saying with an eved knani, therefore, if he's an adult, or with his own wife or children, if they're adults, then he's able to make such a deal. But for knanim, not whether the eved or the child is a katan, because they don't have the das to understand that kind of deal. And even if they've eaten before, they still may want to eat some later. Well, you want to ask the Kavasar Gabi Behemdoi. Well, in that case, then the Mishnah had also said, the coming Mishnah also says that you can't do this on behalf of your behemoth. So then what's the problem? Tevin, why can't the, so what does that mean? You can't make a deal that the owner of the field will give the animal a whole bale of straw ahead of time so that it doesn't eat on the job. Why not? Nokwitz law, why shouldn't he be able to arrange that in advance? As we learned also previously, you're allowed to the owner of the grain, for example, is allowed to give the animal a whole bale of straw ahead of time, so it's going to eat that and fill up on that and not want to eat any of the not want to eat anything of what it's threshing. So we can't say that. So that explanation doesn't work either. So the Gemara says, Ellie, you're right, so fine, we're left with Bahaka Miflagi. We can only say the Mishnah and the Braisa are arguing on this point. The Braisa is saying that Mishaloi hu oichel, therefore, since it's his, he's able to make deals about it. Whereas the Mishnah holds Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel, so therefore he has no ability to make deals. So he has a certain ability to make deals about it, for people who have das and themselves can be moichel, but not for children, whether his own or whether avodim, who don't have that kind of das. Now Rashi points out then that Rabbi Yochanan would say that the Rabbi Yochanan's din, that you're able to tell your Eved, say me the enizonach. So for that purpose, it wouldn't matter whether the Eved, whether the master is supporting them or not. We would say either way, since he can say say me the enizonach, then it wouldn't matter whether he's supporting them or not. Either way, on behalf of an adult Eved, he'd be able to make such a deal to prevent them from eating, but on behalf of an Eved Cotton, who he wouldn't. Meanwhile, the other opinion over there, who says that you can't say asay mi ve'eni zonach, would necessarily have to say that we're talking about over here only when the master is supporting them, and therefore he has rights over their earnings. That's a point of Rashi. Tosva says, no, Rabbi Yochanan would say that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about so Tosva says that no, it's talking about specifically when Ein Malo Lahem Mezonis, specifically when he's not supporting them. So Marsha explains the reason why Tosfos prefers to explain that way is because otherwise, if we said that we're talking about that he's supporting them, then we said, well, why shouldn't he have the right over Maisiya Dehem? And therefore, he should have the ability to make a deal to prevent them from eating. And he's going to earn more money for that, would be, because we said, because the Torah is not mezaka to him, their tzar, and Tosfos considers it a doichuk to say that that's the only reason why he can't make the deal. And therefore, Tosfos prefers to say that we're talking about that he's not supporting them, and therefore for Ketanim, he's not entitled to Maisiya Dehem, and therefore, he can't make such a deal. Okay, so in the end, in other words, we are saying there is, in fact, machlokas tanoim on this point, whether mishaloi hu oichel or mishal shemaim hu oichel, the poskim paskim, like the opinion mishal shemaim, like the possibility mishal shemaim hu oichel, and the result, therefore, is that he's not able to transfer it to anybody else. If he were to say, so we had the example of a nazir before, saying that that he's not allowed to say, I'm working with grapes, instead give them to my wife or children. So we said that that would be a special knas of the Chachamim, but now we're saying, points the maskana, we don't even really need that. The conclusion of the poskim is, v'shal shamayim u'oichol, and therefore, nazir or not, either way, he doesn't have the right to tell the owner of the field, instead of me eating, you allow my wife or children to eat. The owner of the field is under no obligation to accept any such condition. Obviously, if they make the condition in advance, then fine, they can make conditions. We'll learn about that point tomorrow in the Gemara, Beis Hashem, about the concept of masna mashakosa batora. But basically, we'll say that he does have the right, but once they started working without any such condition, then he's not able to say, give it to my wife or children instead, because Mishal Shemayim would. Okay. So the Mishnah says, a person is allowed to make a deal in advance for himself, as we've been learning in this previous sugya about that. We're going to say that. So most of the sugya we've been explaining, and the maskana, that's what it means, that the deal is, instead of me working on the job, instead of me eating on the job, you're going to pay me extra. We brought up one possibility that kotzitz means that he arranges that the owner of the field is going to give him a lot of food in advance. But we said that it may not be necessary. We can't say that, because then it wouldn't work with the case of the animal later in the mission. Anyway, so he can do that for himself. He can do that for his older son or daughter, or on behalf of his eved or shifa, who are adults, either Ishtai or his wife, because all of them have das, and therefore they know what they're being moichel on, and therefore they're moichel on it. And it means also, we learned before, there's no issue. So there's no issue of anything. There's no issue of mekach tos or anything like that, because they know what they're getting themselves into. But he can't make such a deal on behalf of, speaking on behalf of his young son or daughter, or his young Eved or Shifa, or his animal, because they don't have das, and with the animal, in addition, you have the issue of leisachsa. So therefore they're not moichel on their schus. Okay. So we learned about all of that in the previous piece of the Gemara. So therefore, here, when we get to the Gemara, it's not going to be dealing with this, because we already worked all that out. Another part that there also we've worked out before on Sadek Beis on the Beis, Hasochras Apolam Lasis Benetter Avai Shaloi, if he hired workers to work on his Netter Avai, which, as we said, is the produce of the tree during its fourth year, where it has basically similar dinim to Maisa Sheni, you either have to bring it to your Shalayim or you have to exchange it for money and bring the money to your Shalayim. So now they're working on Netter Avai. So therefore, they can't eat it unless it's been redeemed. So harei lo yoichlu, then they can't eat, because it's also to eat it outside your shalayim im lo hadian. But if you didn't inform them that it's neter avai poido machil, and then he has to be poide, and then he has to give them to eat from it. Which, as we learned yesterday, you have different possibilities. Is it we said if we say. If you say Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel, we wondered why would he even need to be poured to them. Maybe we would say that to begin with, Hashem doesn't grant them such a thing. Or we brought up the possibility that we brought up the possibility maybe it means you shouldn't even need to uh, that Rabbi Hananel had said, Tosfos had brought, maybe you shouldn't need to be poed to them if you say Mishal Shamayim. And the end of answering the Gemara was that it's a matter of Mekach Tos. If you don't inform them in advance that it's Netzer Avai and they can't eat from it, then they have a right to say this is Mekach Tos. We never agreed to be hired under such conditions. And then, so therefore, that's why we require him to. That's why we require him to be poured to the fruit, so that now they're able to eat on the job as they usually would. Similarly, sparsely gulav. Similarly, we said a person had igulei dvela. A person had these round cakes of pressed figs or dates, and they fell apart. And now he's hiring somebody to stick them back together. Nispatchu chaviyosev, or if his barrels were opened up, and he's hiring people to close them again. Harei lo yoichlu, then they're not allowed to eat, as we learned yesterday, because in both those cases, it's already after Gemar Malacha. In the case of the barrels, we talked about the whole possibility that maybe we brought what Rav Sheshe said, that maybe Nispatchu chaviyosev means that they actually spilled back into the pit in the ground where the wine is pressed, and now they're being hired to take it from there and put it back into the barrels. Anyway, and if he didn't inform them, ma'aser ma'achilan, then he has to take ma'aser from it, and then in order to make it possible for them to eat, same idea. Otherwise, we said in the end, it's a problem of mekach tos, because they're thinking that they were hired under normal conditions where they're allowed to eat, and now it turns out that they're not. So again, the Gemara is not going to deal with explaining this part of the Mishnah, because we dealt with it in detail before. Now here's a new point, though, which we are going to deal in the Gemara with.
So we actually explained this Mishnah
in connection with the previous Mishnah, because we explained it in connection with the sugya about Mishaloyu Oichel and Mishal Shamayim Oichel.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, once in a while the Gemara does that. Shomer Peiros. Now here's another din, though. When you hire people to watch your fruit. Now we're going to see in the Gemara, there's a couple of possibilities. What we mean by that, we can be talking about where the fruit is still attached to the ground, or we can be talking about where it's already detached and you're hiring somebody to watch it.
It's in piles.
Yeah, it's in piles already. Yeah. So Oichlan Mehilchus Medina, they are allowed to eat from the fruit that they're watching based on Hilchus Medina, meaning that Rashi says it's a minhag. People have a minhag, and the Chachamim endorse that minhag and say that it's valid to follow. There is an explanation, actually, from the Rid that says that Hilchus Medina would actually mean the Tekona of the Chachamim, meaning all this time we've been talking about Dinim, or what they're allowed and not allowed to do Daraisa. According to the Rid, Hilchus Medina would be another way of saying the Tekona of Chachamim. But according to Rashi, it means just that it's a minhag that people have accepted on themselves, and the Chachamim endorse it as a valid minhag. So they were allowed to eat based on that. Avaloi min ha-Torah, but not min ha-Torah, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. So when we say shomer peiros, so let's focus on that last line of the Mishnah. So what kind of peiros are they watching? We're only talking about where they're watching gardens or orchards. So it's mechubal akarka. The fruit is still attached to the ground. It's not gmar malacha. Now, as we learned at the beginning, when we started talking about these dinim on Daf Pei Zayin, we said that min ha-Torah, they're able to eat only either when they're harvesting it, or after it's already been harvested before gmar malacha. This is neither, because they're watching it while it's still attached, to keep animals or thieves or whatever away, but therefore it's attached to the ground. It's not gmar malacha of harvesting it, because not being harvested now at all. So min ha-Torah, they wouldn't be able to eat. So therefore, they can only eat based on Hilchos Medina, based on the minhag that people have. Avol, but Rav continues, shomer gittes va'aremus, if they're watching a vat of wine or a pile of fruit. And in both these cases, we're talking about before, it's already been harvested, obviously, and it's before Gmar Malacha. So then Rav says, Oichlan min ha-Torah, then they would be able to eat on a min ha-Torah level. Because the point is, the chiddush is not because it's before Gmar Malacha, obviously. The point is, they're not actually doing anything with it. All this time, we've been talking about where they're doing something with their hands, their feet, their shoulders, or whatever. Here, he's not physically doing anything with the gittes v'aremus. He's only watching. So nevertheless, Rav says that's considered that he can eat min ha-Torah, meaning that Rav holds that watching something is considered like an actual action. And therefore, the same way as if it was actually stomping on the grapes to make the wine, or ladling it out of there into the barrels or whatever, he would for sure be able to eat min ha-Torah. Rav says the same thing when he's only watching. Shmuel says no. On the contrary, Shmuel says. The Mishnah, when it says that they can eat only mehilchas medina, is talking about only when they're watching dita svaremus. So it's already been harvested from the ground. It's not yet gmar malacha. So therefore, but nevertheless, the fact is they're not doing any actual work with it. They're only watching it. Therefore, they can eat only mehilchas medina. Avol shomer ganes pardesim, but Shmuel says that no, if they're watching fruit that's still attached to the ground, a garden or an orchard, then Shmuel says einam oichlin loy minatora v'loy mehilchas medina. Then Shmuel says even hilchas medina would not allow them to eat it because he holds meshama lav ka'isa ma'isa dami, because he holds that just watching them is not considered an action. So therefore, he's not doing any action with them. So therefore, Shmuel is going to say basically they wouldn't be able to eat at all if they're watching something which is already detached from the ground and already partially processed. Then Shmuel is saying fine, they can eat. They can eat based on hilchos medina. The Ravid explains, in other words, that when it comes to, it's not just the fact one is detached from the ground, one is attached. So the Rashba and the Ritva say you have to consider it like this. If the person was actually doing an action, we're saying the watching according to Shmuel is not considered an action. If he was actually doing an action, though, then in one case he'd be allowed to eat minatora, and in the other case not. Because in the one case, it's already after harvest, before Gemar Malacha, and in the other case, before the harvest, and that would be a reason to distinguish here, when according to Shmuel, he's not doing a Maisa at all, whether he can eat Mehuchas Medina or not. In other words, the Rashba and the Ritva are saying that the scope of Hilchas Medina is going to parallel that of the scope of the Din D'Oraisa. Since D'Oraisa, in the case where he's watching a vat of already pressed wine, or a pile of already picked fruit, then minatora, if he was actually doing something with it, minatora, he'd be able to eat. Therefore, when he's only watching and not actually doing something, then he can eat mehilchas medina. But in the case of ganes pardesim, Shmuel is saying, where minatora, even if he was actually doing physical labor with it, he wouldn't be entitled to eat because it's not yet the harvest. Then hilchas medina is not going to allow him to eat it on the basis of being a shomer eater. That's how the Rashba and the Ritva explain it. The Ravid says differently. The Ravid discusses what would happen. He says the fact is sometimes a shomer might have to do an action. So therefore, then the idea would be, in other words, where that action would mean that then minatora he'd be able to eat. Then we say mehilchas medina. Even if he doesn't end up doing any action, then he still gets to eat mehilchas medina. But where the action anyway wouldn't allow him to eat, namely when the food is still attached, says Shmuel, then now he can't eat. So the Gemara says Mosiv Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna. So Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna says, so you're telling me, according to Shmuel, that a shomer is not considered to be doing actual maisa, and therefore he doesn't have a right to eat minatora, and to the extent that he has the ability to eat would be only derabon. So Mosi Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna, Hamashamer Sapara. Now we know anybody who's involved in preparing the Pora Aduma becomes Tomei. So Mishnah says, a Braisa says rather, Hamashamer Sapara, if a person is watching the Para, after the Para Adrama was shechted, before it's burnt, you have somebody to keep an eye on it, make sure nothing Tome comes, make sure nothing or no one Tome comes there, etc. So somebody is watching it, and then Braisa says, Matama Begodim, such a person becomes Tome, he and his clothes, the same way as anybody else who is involved in preparing the Para Adrama. Now we am at Mashama Lavka Isa Maisa Dummy. If you Shmuel are telling us that just watching is not considered like doing a Maisa, am I Matame Begodim? Why would he become Tommy? Why would his clothes become Tommy? Maybe the people who are actually burning it and gathering the ashes and so on and so forth, they become Tommy because the Torah says so. But they're at least doing a Maisa with the potter. He's not doing any Maisa. So according to Rav, there'd be no question. Because according to Rav, we're saying a guard is still considered like he's doing an action. But according to Shmuel, how does it work? So Omar Rav Ba'ula, Gzeira Shemin Yozis Ba'ever. So Rav Ba'ula says, it's not Daraisa, according to Shmuel, that he becomes Tomei. It's Dirabanan, because the Chachamim were concerned he might move a limb of it. And if he touches the Parah Adruma after it was shechted, before it's burned, then he is going to become Tomei on a Daraisa level. Therefore, the Chachamim were concerned, while he's watching it, to make sure nothing Tomei comes near it or whatever, he may accidentally move a limb of it and become tamei d'oraisa, and therefore the chum are going to say that no matter what, he's going to become tamei. So that has nothing to do with Shmuel's din over here, which is dealing with what he's allowed and not allowed on d'oraisa level. Okay, the Gemara says Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana points out another contradiction against Shmuel. A braisa says Hamashamer arba v'chomish mekshoyis. If a person is watching 4 or 5 cucumber patches. Now, Rashi explains they're talking about they belong to different people. So if each person has a patch of cucumbers or whatever kishurim are exactly, gourds or melons or whatever, that are growing near one another.
Kishurim is cucumbers or gourds.
In modern Hebrew, kishurim actually means zucchinis, but those are right. zucchinis are native to America, so they didn't have them in the time of the Gemara. So what kishurim means in Gemara terminology, whatever.
Something like that, whatever.
Anyway, so let's say you have a bunch of people who have...
Do they spoil fast? Whatever kishurim
are. Yeah, I guess, well, anything will spoil if you leave it out long enough, but yeah.
Because gourds don't spoil that fast as...
I don't know. Wine. You do have, there is a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas that describes Aktorim Kishus V'nimtzis Moro, that a person takes Truma out of a Kishus, out of a, which is the singular of Kishurim, and finds that it's bitter, so it would imply that something that when it spoils becomes bitter. Which, so it turns bitter. So it might be something more like cucumbers, whatever. Anyway, let's call it cucumbers and have done
okay.
With it. Fine. So let's say, you have a bunch of people that have patches of land, they have farms where they're growing cucumbers. So instead of each of them hiring their own watchman, they hire one guy and they pay him, and then they pay him in common to watch all of them. So the Braisa says, Hareza lo yamalik kreise me'echa mehen. Now, he is allowed to eat, but he can't fill up his stomach from only one of them. Rather, he has to go and eat a proportionate amount from each one. So yeah, if one of them is twice as large as the other, then he can eat twice as much from that one, but he still has to keep it proportionate across all of them.
Seems like you can eat it right on the spot.
Well, that's the question.
Not
so,
the gourd, which...
Maybe.
Maybe a cucumber is a better.
Maybe. I mean, a gourd, I suppose, you could cut open with a knife or whatever.
The word melafophone.
Melafophone, you do find it. You do find it, I think, particularly in Mishnayos and in Yerushalmi, you find it. That's something else, yeah.
So that's just a different kind of cucumber.
Maybe. All right, anyway, let's not get hung up on that, yeah. Okay, so the Iyam Mishap, now this is according to Rashi, by the way, that we're talking about, that the areas, the patches of cucumbers belong to different people. The Meiri points out, it might even be talking about they all belong to the same person, but we're saying that still you don't want to have you don't want to have a noticeable large amount that was taken out of one as compared to the others, so therefore you should keep it proportional among all of them. Now, if you're going to tell me, Shmuel, that when he's watching is not considered oisa maisa, am I oisal, then why is he able to eat? According to Shmuel's definition before, since they're attached to the ground and he's not doing a maisa, then he's not allowed to eat, not minat Torah and not mehilchus medina. And here we're talking about in the braisa him eating. And we're just saying that he should keep it proportionate between one and the other. So Rav Shimon Ba'ashi says, because we're not talking about where the cucumbers are growing. We're talking about where they're already detached from the ground and made into piles. Well, the Gemara says, according to the Nigma Malach and the Meiser. Well, in that case, it's already Gemara Malacha as far as Meiser. And as we've been learning, the workers are not allowed to eat under those circumstances once it's Gemara Malacha from Meiser. So why are we talking about him eating? And the answer is, Shalai Nitol Pikas Shalahem. Fine, because we're talking about that at the point where the pikas has not been removed yet. We learned previously, Amdaf Peches, we talked about that, on Pezayin rather, Pezayin Omid Beis, we talked about where you have a pikas, which we explained over there, meant a flower that grows on top of the thing and you remove it, and that's the Gemar Malacha of it. It was Peches Omid Beis, yeah. So we said Rashi had explained that it means that these kinds of vegetables have a flower that grows at the top, and eventually you remove that flower and then you put it in for storage, and therefore, so that's the Gemara Malacha of it. We said there that the Rambam understands the pikas to be a fine downy hair that grows on the outside of the vegetable, and then you rub it off or scrape it off, and that's the Gemara Malacha. Either way, here we're talking about that processing hasn't been done yet, therefore it's before Gemara Malacha. So he would be able to eat. So now, even according to Shmuel, again, it is already detached from the ground. It is before Gemar Malacha. So fine, according to Shmuel, so Rav would understand the Braisa that he can eat on a Daraisa level. Shmuel would understand that he can eat only on a Darabonim level. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi kavasei de Shmuel mistabel. In fact, Rav Ashi says it seems more logical to follow Shmuel's opinion. The Tanan, we learned at the beginning of this whole topic, the Elo Oisim min HaTorah, the following are allowed to eat min HaTorah, when he's working on something attached to the ground, and it's at the time of Gemar Malacha, when it's being harvested, over Tolu Shulu, and we said when he's working with something that's already been harvested, and now it's before, Gemar Malacha for Meiser. Now, why does it say Min HaTorah? Miklal De'ika D'loy Ka'ocha Min HaTorah. So, that the Mishnah evidently seems to be implying that there are people who are not able to eat Min HaTorah. So what do we mean? They're not allowed to Elam Hirchas Medin. Evidently. Evidently there are people who are not allowed. So that would seem to imply that there are people who are not able to eat Min HaTorah Elam Hilchos Medina. However, they are allowed to eat based on Hilchos Medina. So that fits well with Shmuel's opinion. But the Gemara says Eima Sefer. But then let's consider. Let's consider the next part of that Mishnah, where it continues Ve'elu She'en and Oichlin. The following are not allowed to eat from what they're working with. And we said when they're working on Mechobel Akauka and it's not Gemar Malacha, etc. So my Ein and Oichlin. What do we mean they're not allowed to eat? Eima She'en Oichlin Natoda El Mehilchus Medina. If you're going to say it means that they can't eat Minatoda, but they could eat Mehilchus Medina. Because in other words, Rashi says, since it doesn't just say Elu Oichlin when in the first part of the Mishnah, where it says Elu Oichlin Minat Torah, and you're going to say the Elu Shein and Oichlin, if you're going to say the Elu Shein and Oichlin means they can only eat Dirabbanon, Hainu Reisha, then it would just be repeating what it said in the Reisha. And since it says the Elu Shein and Oichlin, then that implies kind of like we're talking about a new din, Torah Schaim points out. If it said Aval Oisim, Mechobel Akarka, then we could say that it means that it's contrasting between the ones who can eat Daraisa and Darabonon. But when it says Ve'eru Shein and Oichlin, which sounds like it's beginning to present a new halacha, Elalav Shein Oichlin Lomina Torah Velo Mehuchs Medina. Evidently, the sefer of that Mishnah is saying that the following are not allowed to eat, not Minat Torah and not even Mehilchos Medina. Or mind you, so what would be the case? Now, according to Rab, you don't really have. According to Rab, there'd be no such case because according to him, every time you're allowed to eat, either Minat Torah or from Mehilchos Medina. So, the Mishnah continues, mind you, when they're working on something attached to the ground and it's not Gemar Malacha, and then they're not allowed to eat even from Hilchos Medina. So therefore, Rav Ashi points out, so then all the more so, watchmen who are not even doing Malacha at all, according to Shmuel, who they're not even doing a Maisa at all, according to Shmuel, that watching is not considered a Maisa, then all the more so the Mishnah would be implying with its wording that they can't eat from Hilchos Medina either. Now, Rav is not obligated to accept that deal, which is why we're not asking on Rav from the Mishnah, but nevertheless, Rav Ashi points out that the wording of the Mishnah better supports Shmuel. Now, Tosfos also points out, according to Rav, we would have to say that since Rav is saying that when you're watching is already considered doing a Maisa, in a similar vein, Tosfos learns that that Rav would also say, even at times when you're not, other times when you're not allowed to eat Daraisa, you would still be allowed to eat Dirabbanan. An example was we learned previously, for example, if a person is picking out the smaller onions from among the larger ones in order to allow the larger ones to grow more, and the smaller ones are not actually meant to be eaten. He's right. Just throwing them away. So we said that he's not allowed to eat. So Rav would learn, but says Tosfos,
the smaller onions, if he's throwing them away.
So if he's throwing them away, then they're hefker, maybe he would. But maybe we're talking about whether they're too different. Small to be edible.
Yeah, anyway, it would be poisonous.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, Tosfos learns that according to Rav, in fact, he would be able to eat them based on Hilchos Medina, just not Minat Torah. But according to Shmuel, they're not. And we're saying it's more logical. The Mishnah fits better with Shmuel's opinion. And in fact, the halacha is in the end like Shmuel.
Okay. What is the rule between Rav and Shmuel?
The usual rule is that the halacha is like Rav in Dini Isser Veheter, and the halacha is like Shmuel in Dini Mominus, is the general rule. This is an example. Dini Mominus, and here we're saying the halacha is like Shmuel. Okay. From here on, until the middle of the next perek, we're going to be dealing with the dinim of the Shoimrim. And now we learned about the four Shoimrim back in the third perek in Hamath did. We touched on them a little bit towards the end of the sixth perek, focusing particularly on when you give something to a craftsman to repair for you, what degree of shomer is he? And now we're going to continue and talk about the prime, and this is going to be the primary place where we talk about the dinim of shomer, which ones are responsible for what kinds of things and different things like that is going to be the end of our perek and the beginning of the next perek. How it comes in over here, maybe because we were just talking about shomer peiros, and maybe therefore that brings it in. Anyway, the Mishnah says, "Abar shomerim heim." There are four kinds of shomerim. Shomer chinam v'hashoyel noses socha v'asocher. You have a shomer chinam who's watching the thing for free. He has the least amount of responsibility, as we're going to say in the Mishnah. The shoyel is the opposite, which is why he's listed next. Now in the Torah, they're listed in the order shomer chinam, shomer socher, shoyel, and socher. But the Mishnah is putting them in a different order in order to put contrasts between one and the other. The shoyel and the shomer chinam and the shoyel are pretty much polar opposites. The shomer chinam is watching it and not getting anything for it. So he has the responsibility of watching it and no benefit. And therefore, because of that, he has very little responsibility for it. And the shoyel is the other way around. He has the use of it and he's not even paying for it. Therefore, he has the maximum responsibility. Then you have noses socher v'asocher, who are someplace in between. So, shemachinam nishba lakol, or shemachinam, no matter what happens to the thing, he can be, whether gneva, aveda, oynas, he can swear in beis din that that's what happened. And then he's potter. So he's only chayev for pshia. Or shlichus yad, we learned about shlichus yad at the end of Perek HaMafkid as well, that if he misuses the thing, then now it becomes his, and he's chayev and oinsin. And if he was pesheya, then we're going to say he's chayev and oinsin, but otherwise he's potter, based on a shvor. V'ashoyo mashalam asakol, on the other hand, a shomer is going to have to pay for everything, whether gneva, aveda, even onus. As far as the noises socher and socher, the shomer socher, and the socher, there's some place in between. They have a certain degree of benefit, the shomer socher because he's getting paid, and the socher because he has the use of the thing. On the other hand, they don't have the complete benefit because the shomer socher can't use the thing, and the socher has to pay for his use of the thing. Therefore, nishborim ala shvura, ala shvura, ala mesa. So if the animal gets broken or taken captive or by robbers or it dies, then those are examples of onus. So they swear for that and they're potter or mashamanis aveda v'esagneva. But if it's lost or if it's stolen, then they're obligated to pay and swearing is not going to get them out of that. Well, the Gemara says man tana abar shomer, which Tana says this concept of four shomer, which the Gemara is going to ask and say. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What's even the question? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avur, Rav Meir. So first, Rav Nachman says, in the name of Rabbi Avor, you should know our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir. Omalei Rav le Rav Nachman, but Rav asked Rav Nachman, what's the question even? Mi ikad alesle abar shomerim? How could anybody not hold the four shomerim? Necessarily, there have to be the four different divisions that we just mentioned, whether you're paying or not, and whether you can use the thing or not, that results in four shomerim. So what do you mean, which Tana says that, as though some other Tana would say differently? Omalei, so Rav Nachman explains, Hachikam in Allah, what I mean to say, man Tana, Socher, Kenoise Socher, which Tana, I don't mean which Tana taught the concept of four shomerim, which Tana taught this Mishnah about Abar, which begins with the words Abar shomerim, where it says that the Noise Socher and the Socher are on an equal level. So who is the one? Man Tana, Socher, Kenoise Socher, who is it that says that the Socher, the renter, has exactly the same degree of responsibility as the Shomer Socher? That would be specifically Rav Meir. So the Gemara asks about Rav Meir Ipcha Shamin and Lay. Don't we find that Rav Meir says exactly the opposite? Tanya Socher Ketzim Mashalim. A Braisa said now it's like this. The Torah spells out what the degree of Chiyuv is for a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socher and for a Shoyel. Actually, for a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socher, the Pasuk doesn't explicitly say which Psukim are which. In the next parak, we're going to learn that from Psukim, how we know which Psukim are referring to a Shomer Chinam and which to a Shomer Socher. But anyway, the point is, once we establish that, then we know which is which. And the shoyel, the posuk clearly mentions by name. But the socher, all the posuk says about the socher, im socher hu bobischare. If he rented the thing, he comes with his pay, but it doesn't specify what degree of responsibility he has. And a braisa says, socher ketz mishalim. What degree of responsibility does he have? How does he pay if something happened to it? Rameo Omer Kashem Achinam. Rameo would say he's like a Shem Achinam and it's potter from Gneva Vaveda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kashem Asachar. And Rabbi Yehuda says he's like a Shem Asachar. So what are you telling me, Rav Nachman, that our Mishnah goes like Rameo? It seems on the contrary, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. So the answer is Rabbi Bar Avuha, Ipchokatani. Rabbi Bar Avuha has the Braisa in the opposite order. He has Rabbi Meir saying that he's like a Shem HaSachar, and Rabbi Yehuda saying that he's like a Shem HaChinam. So he says our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, Arba, then it's, if so, and this is another one of those Ihochis, is not really usually the Gemara, when the Gemara says Ihochi, Tosfos points out, usually means, if you were going to say a different possibility, then fine, it would be easy to understand. But now that you're saying this possibility, then we have this question. The Ihochi over here is not really that. The question that we're going to have is, the question we're going to have about 3 verses 4 can really be asked independent of who we say our Mishnah goes like. So what do you mean, Abba? Shloshanin. Isn't it basically 3? Because you have the Shemachinam's type of responsibility, the Shoyal's type of responsibility, and the Noisis Socher slash Socher's type of responsibility. So you really only have 3. And the question would be, again, even according to the opinion, that the Socher is like a Shemachinam, same thing, and you have 3 types of responsibility. So the Gemara says, you're right. It means, Amar of Nachmeitzel, Abba Shemin with the name Shloshan. There are 4 types of shomerim, but you're right, when you talk about the dinim that apply to them, there are really only 3 different categories of dinim. They're really in 3 different categories, because it's true, a noisis, a socher is going to be either like a shomachinam or a shomasachar, according to the different opinions. Okay, so now let's talk about this business, about the degree of responsibility of a shomachinam versus shomasachar. The Gemara says, Hahu Raya, there was a shepherd that have a karoi chevasa agudah in a har papa. He was pasturing his animals. He was grazing his animals by the banks of the river papa. Shorig chodaminayu. One of the animals slipped. Rashi translates shorig as slipped. The raven and the meiri say another possibility is it may mean that it got its legs got tangled up with the legs of another animal. Whatever the case, chodaminayu. One of them nuflas lamaya and it fell into the water and drank. So the shepherd, the din Torah, came to Rabba, upatre, and Rabba said the shepherd is potter. Because Omar, he says, my havalei lemevad, what could he have done? How could he have prevented it? Therefore, it's considered an oinus. He says, after all, he watched the animals the way that people normally watch them. So you can't call this an aveda. It has to be defined as an oinus. The Ramban explains, and other Rishonim explain, it doesn't mean, in other words, that it's true, he's a Shema Socher, he has a higher degree of responsibility. All that means is he has to be watching them constantly, but it doesn't mean, unlike a Shema Chinam, who maybe doesn't, but on the other hand, it doesn't mean that he has to watch them to a greater degree to say that he should be responsible if one of them slips or trips on another animal or whatever and falls into the water. Even for a Shema Socher, that would be considered an oinus. So Omalei Abaya. So Abaya says, how could that be? Elamei Ata, by that logic, all the mosa beidna da'ili inchi. What about if the shepherd were to go back home? What about if the shepherd were to leave the animals grazing out in the field and go in back to the city at a time when the shepherds normally do? There comes a point in the day when the shepherds are, it's already late in the day and the shepherds come home and they leave the animals out in the field. So are you telling me that even if he's a Shema Socher, Hochinami the Potter, would we say that he's Potter if something happens to them overnight? What do you mean? He's a Shema Socher. Shouldn't he have a higher degree of responsibility? Amalei Ein. So Rabbi says, yes, as a matter of fact, then yes, as long as he goes in. Now, fine, he can't go in earlier than the Shema Chinam do. So you have, there are some people who are going to be watching animals for free, such as because it's their own or because they're doing it as a favor for somebody else. They would, at a certain point of the day, they would say, you know what, it's time to go home and the sheep can stay here overnight and they can graze overnight out in the meadows. And at that point, then he being a Shema Chinam would be potter because that's a normal thing to do. So now Rabbi is saying a Shema Socher is not, it doesn't have any more responsibility than that. He has more responsibility to keep an eye on them, to watch them constantly while they're under his care. But nevertheless, he is allowed to go home at a certain time when it's normal to leave them out in the field. And he can, and Rabbi argues he would be potter for that.
When they leave them in the field, do they have a special place to leave them?
And the pastures, they're sheep. I mean, they're herd animals. They're not just gonna take off and start running.
So why watch them anyway?
You have to watch them anyway because there might be wolves or ganovim or whatever. But
ganovim and wolves work at night.
They might, but nevertheless, there were places apparently where it was considered a normal thing that the shepherds can leave them in the field overnight.
I guess during the day they walk them around to graze them, and yeah, they just sleep.
I guess, yeah. So Rabbi says yes. Abaye says, gonna put a bit into the gonuin. What about if the shepherd takes a nap during the day at a time when shepherds normally nap? Are you going to say that even if the shepherd is a shema socher, he's also potter? And again, Rabbi says yes. As long as, in other words, again, the idea is, as a shema socher, he has more of a responsibility to watch them carefully while they're under his care. But nevertheless, he's still allowed to take a break in the middle of the day for a nap or at night to go home and sleep. Abaye says to Rabbah, I'm done with the logical question, but I'm going to ask you a question based on a braisa. A braisa says, Elohim onsen shosema socha potter alehen. The following is the definition of an onus that a shosema socha is potter for. Kigoin would be an example of the kind of thing that describes with Eov, when you have at the beginning of Sefer Eov, where the Satan is arguing to Hashem that Eov is a tzaddik only because he's so rich and successful, and if you take away his wealth, then you'll see what he really is. So the pasuk describes then a series of disasters that hit Eov one after the other, and one of them is the pasuk says Vatipol Shiva. The pasuk describes that his animals were grazing in the field, Vatipol Shiva Vatikachem, and all of a sudden an army unit from Shiva, name of a nation, came and fell upon them and attacked them, Vatikachem, and took them, Vesan Orim Pikulafichorev, and killed the attendants, the young men who were shepherding them. They killed them with the sword. So in other words, we're talking about that kind of onus. We're talking about where it's impossible to prevent anything because they're coming with swords and they're coming with weapons, implying if it's anything short of that, it's not considered an onus.
Oh, right.
Rabbi says, that braisa is not talking about a regular shema socher. That braisa is talking about the city watchmen. They have the whole point is they're meant to be guarding the city at night, and people are watching them, and people are depending on them to keep themselves and their mamon safe. So they for sure have that extra degree of responsibility. They can't sleep on the job or anything like that. And if they do, they're chayev, and the only way they can be potter is if like an army came and attacked them. But otherwise, a regular shema socher does not have that degree of responsibility.
Yeah, unfortunately, it sounds like October.
It does sound a lot like Simchas Torah, indeed. Yes. So the Gemara continues. So Rabbi says to Rabbi, I have another contradiction. A braisa says, "Ad mosai shema socher chayev lishmer." How long? How much does a shema socher have to watch the animals that are under his care? Ad kidei, until the point of like Yaakov describes when he's talking to Lavan, when Lavan chases after him, and Yaakov says to Lavan, what do you think you're doing in the first place? Don't you realize how hard I worked for you all these years? Hayisi bayoim, I was in the situation bayoim. By day, the heat was eating me up, but kerach baloila, and the frost at night. So in other words, I was working for you day and night in heat and cold. So the braisa is saying that's the degree of watching that a shema socher has to do. So what are you telling me that he can go in, what are you telling me he can take a nap and he can go into the city to sleep at night? So Rabbi says to him, there also, we're talking about the city watchmen. I asked him, Yaakov Avinu chazen masa hava? What do you mean, though? Yaakov Avinu was not a city watchman. He was pasturing Lavan's sheep. So the answer is, Rabbi says, Omele, Lavan, means Yaakov is telling Lavan, Natri lach netirusa yeserta. I went the extra degree of watching for you, kichazne masa, as much as a city watchman would have to do. I'm not a city watchman. I would have been completely putter if I had gone home at night like a normal person. But I didn't. I went the extra mile for you. And here, nevertheless, this is how you treated me. And now you're chasing after me, etc. So the braisa doesn't mean to establish that a regular, says Rabba, that a regular shema socher should have that degree of responsibility, but only that a chazne mosa. So it could also be, by the way, as far as we're talking about leaving them in the fields overnight, we're not necessarily talking about leaving them in an open field. It may well be you have some kind of pen for them or something so that they don't wander off and so that they're protected to a certain degree. You're talking about the pen is, you know, it's a palisade or something where wild animals or robbers or whatever can't easily get in, but they could get in if they have a mind to it. So nevertheless, Rabbah is saying that they've done their duty and therefore they're potter. Abaye says, I have another contradiction on Rabbah. Abaye says, Roya, a shepherd who was grazing the animals, the Niach Edre Yubolair, he left behind the flock of sheep and went into the city, and a wolf came and grabbed one of the animals and ate it. A lion came and was Doris and killed one of the animals. We looked about in Baba Kama about the way that a lion kills and its prey versus other kinds of animals. A lion usually eats it on the spot. Other kinds of animals take it, take the carcass back to their lair. We said a lion might do that if it's bringing it to feed its family rather than itself. Whatever the case, the point is, in other words, so a wild animal attacked it. So ein oimdim, we don't estimate, or oimrim is a different girsa. Ilu hoya sham hoya matzo, we don't automatically say if he had been there, he might have saved the animal, and therefore that should be considered pshia. We don't necessarily say that. Ela oimdim, rather we have to evaluate. Ela oimdim oisa, we have to evaluate the situation. Im yochol lahatzil, if it was a situation where we can evaluate that that he would have been able to say it. So that he would have been able to save it if he had been there, chayev, then he's chayev to pay v'im lav potter, and if not, then it's an onus and he's potter. Now, my lav, so, says Abaya, shouldn't we assume that the Braisa is talking about the old idna da'ili inchi, where he went into the city at the time when shepherds usually give up for the day and go home, and nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that if yochol lahatzel, if he would have been able to save the animals when he was there, he would be chayev. So Rabba says, look, no, Rabba says, no, you could easily say that the Braisa is talking about where he went into the city before the usual time. So therefore, so then that's Pshia. However, we have to consider then, after all, if he had been there, would he have been able to save the animals from the wolf or the lion? Tosfos, by the way, points out the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it are going to discuss the point how many wolves have to be attacking in order for it to be considered an onus. The Mishnah actually says, according to the Tanakhama, one wolf is never considered an onus. But either Rabbi Yehuda says when the Mishlachas Ze'evim, when the wolves are particularly incited to attack, for example, they're suffering from a shortage of food or whatever, then even one would be considered an onus. So either we're talking about that, according to, so we could be talking about at that kind of time, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Rabba says, if the shepherd had gone into the city at the normal time, we wouldn't consider it a pshia at all. We wouldn't care whether yochol lahatzel or not. We would say he's going in at the normal time, but he's allowed to do that even as a shem asachar, therefore no problem. Here the braisa is talking about it. He went in earlier than normal, and now a wolf or a lion came and attacked it. Now we have to figure out whether yochol lahatzel. Well, Abaya asks, yihachi amai potter. Fine, but in that case, even if he couldn't save it, why is he potter? Is it this an example of where he started out with pshia because he went into the city too early and it ends up being an onus, where we learned back in Perakamafkia that in such a case a person is chayev? Now, Tosfos does learn, Tosfos in a number of places in Shas learn that when we say tchilos v'pshia v'soifa ba'onus is only when the onus can be somehow related to the pshia. If we say if pshia was in one thing and the onus was in something completely unrelated, then we would even say that. Then we would still say that he's potter. Now, on the face of it, here the wolf would have attacked or the lion would have attacked, even if he hadn't gone into the city. So, how do we reconcile this gemara with that? So, the Rif explains that Abaya is the one who holds. Now, in that sugya earlier, Abaya holds that it doesn't even matter whether the pshia has to do with the onus or not. Abaya holds he's chayev. So therefore, Abaya is following his own shitta in asking the question over here, but the halacha might not be like him. On the other hand, Tosfos earlier on Daf Ayin Ches, we had a discussion about these matters of the shomrim and the various degrees of pshia. And pshia bonus was and chilas of pshia was sofer bonus. Tosfos there gave a few different possibilities. One is if he had been there, he might have taken them to a different place to graze before the lion shows up. Therefore, we can say that the pshia is in fact directly connected to the onus. We can also say Tosfos says that because after all, it's common enough. Shepherds often do that. They graze the animals for a while in one place, and then they go someplace else and continue. So he might have done that. Another possibility is the lion itself might have been afraid to attack if it saw the shepherd over there, because animals have wild animals generally have a natural fear of humans. Or a third possibility, Tosfos says that the shepherd might have even had a nest happen to him, like happened with David HaMelech, where he was able to fight off lions and bears that were attacking his flock. And later on, he tells Shaul, Hashem did that for me in order to show me as a siman for the future that the same way I'll be able to defeat Goliath. So therefore, so and also have, so for all those reasons, Tosfos says you do have a valid reason to say that this is that here, if it's tchilos of a pshia, but so for onus, that the onus does in fact have to do with the pshia. The pshia can be said in a certain way to have caused the onus. And Abaye is arguing in that case you should be chayav. So the answer is the shama kol aryeh va'ol. We're talking about why did he leave early? Precisely because he heard the sound of a lion. Well, the Gemara says yehachi. Well, what do you mean? Why do we have to evaluate my Havilel Medrash? What could he have done? He was afraid of being attacked by the lion himself. And the answer is The answer is you should have come out to fight against. You should have come out to prevent the lion from coming in the first place by getting together other shepherds and sticks in order to scare off the lion. Well, the Gemara says, Yehochi my iri Hashem Asachar. Well, if you're going to say it like that, then why are we mentioning only Hashem Asachar? After the Hashem Achinam Nami, Hashem Achinam would also have the same responsibility. Didn't you yourself, Rabba, actually say that you yourself, Rabba said, Hashem Achinam showed the Kadim Meroim of Maklos. If Hashem Achinam could have prevented the animal's attack by having other shepherds there and sticks, Veloy Kidim, and he didn't, Chayim. So why are we saying here only Hashem is Sachar? So Rabbi answers, Hashem Achinam Bachinam, Hashem is Sachar B'Sachar. The difference is Hashem Achinam is only obligated to do that only if he can get the other shepherds or the sticks for free. Because he's Hashem Achinam, he's not being paid, so therefore we don't make him lay out money for the purpose. Hashem is Sachar would be responsible to do that even if he has to pay the people. So that's the point, in other words. So therefore, the Braisa is talking about Hashem HaSachar because we're saying, we have to evaluate what would be the situation. He could have hired, he could have offered money to the other local shepherds and had them bring those sticks and scare off the lion, and he didn't, and therefore we can say that he's chai. So the Gemara says, v'ad kama, up to what point, how much is he supposed to lay out for that? And the answer is, ad kadei de mehen, up until the actual value of the animal itself. Oh. So the question is, in that case, the Gemara asks, first of all, what do you mean? We're assuming it doesn't mean he lays out. It sounds like he has to actually pay for it out of pocket. Where do we find a Shem HaSachar is chayiv and unsin, and therefore that he should have to pay out of pocket to save the animals? So the answer is the hodder shokel man mi balabais. The answer is, we're not talking about that he pays it and never gets it back. He gets reimbursed, he gets reimbursed by the owner. Then in that case, for Papa asks Abaye, then what good is the balabas getting out of it? If either way, the animal is worth 100 and he has to spend 100 for saving the animal, then he's not gaining anything. He can tell the shepherd, you might as well have allowed the lion to eat up the animal.
The shepherd didn't pay 200.
Yeah. The answer is the nafkamina would be the owner still might prefer to have his animal because he knows he's familiar with the habits of these animals, and therefore he'd prefer to have the animal that he's already familiar with and that he knows its habits rather than have to get a new one with the same money and then he's gonna have to train it. Inami the turchi is serisa, or there's also the fact there's extra turcha involved in having to take the money and use it to buy a new animal. So he would prefer, when possible, to keep his original animals. So now you have machlokas rishonim within this whether in fact, what if he didn't do that? Do we deduct? So one way of looking at it is that we deduct out of the value of the animal the amount that he would have had to pay the shepherds, and then the showman pays the difference. That's the rival learns that.
If he didn't do it, right.
On the other hand, the Nemuka Yosef understands the Rambam to mean that no, he's Pesheya and therefore he's Chayav for the entire value of the animal. Although then the Magid Mishnah also explaining the Rambam explains that the Rambam actually agrees with the Ravid on this point. And then different other Rishonim talk about
if it should have cost him
$50 and instead now this animal, which is worth $100, was eaten up by the lion. Do we say therefore that we still have to pay him $50, or do we say that we pay him nothing at all because he was Pesheh?
He pays the 100 minus 50.
Right.
Because he would have had to pay the 50 anyway.
Yeah.
Now, if he would have had to pay 100, then he pays nothing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Gemara
continues.
All right. So the Gemara continues. Okay. So all this time we've been saying, so the point is, Rabba was saying that a Shem HaSachar is he has a greater degree of responsibility than a Shem Achinam, of course, but not to the extent where, for example, he can't go into the city or take a nap or whatever during his work. So the Gemara continues, Rav Chista and Rav Barav Huna disagree with what Rabba says. The Amri, they say, no. You know why we're paying you as a Shema Sachar? The Naturusi Yeserta is to watch for me extra carefully. So in the original din where one of the animals slipped into the water, Rabba patted him and he said, he watched it the way that people normally watch their animals. But now Rav Chista and Rabba Barav Huna are saying nothing doing. You have to watch them to a higher degree of care because you're a Shema Sachar. So the same thing with these other cases, he wouldn't be able to just go into the city or take a nap or whatever, because as a Shema Sachar, he has a higher degree of responsibility. So the Gemara gives some examples. Bar Ada Sibula means that he was a porter. He used to regularly work carrying around burdens. He was one time bringing animals across, and that he was grazing across the bridge in the city of Neresh. One of the animals pushed another one, and knocked it down into the water, and it drowned. Also, so the case came to Rapapa for a dintar of Chayve, and Rapapa said that Bar Ada is Chayve to pay. Omale, my havel the mevad. So Bar Ada says, what was I supposed to do? Isn't it an oinus? Omale, so Rapapa tells him, you should have taken the animals, of course, one at a time. You took them a whole bunch of course at a time, and therefore, that was careless of you. Tosfos says, okay, it's not really considered pshia, but it's considered more like neva v'aveda. It's something that you could have relatively easily prevented. Do you know your nephew that he should be able to bring them across one at a time? Ba'ada is not actually your ba'ada's nephew. But he's using it as a figure of speech. Like, I'm a fellow Yid like you. Do you think that any fellow Yid of yours, you use the word nephew because an uncle and a nephew are usually very close. So do you think that a fellow Yid like me would actually be able to bring the animals across each one individually?
Yeah.
Omale, so the papa says that it's not going to help. Many people before you have complained about the same thing. Nobody ever paid any attention to them because the fact is you are Shema Sachar and you have that extra degree of responsibility. And yes, if that means that you have the hassle of taking them across one at a time, then that's what you're going to have to do as a Shema Sachar. And if not, then something happens and it's your problem. Because again, like Tosfos says, then it's considered like Gneva Vaveda. It's something that relatively easily could have been prevented.
How do you take them across one by one with...
So you do. You take one, of course, and then you come back for the next one, and so forth. You have to figure out a way.
Instead
of two or three, where one of them could push the other. Yeah. Here's another example. The Gemara says, "Ivu afkid kitna beirunya." Ivu, that was his name.
Is he the same Ivu that ate bread?
I'm not sure, but this was in the times of Reb Nachman. So if that Ivu is that one, then I guess so. We find Ivu was the father of Rab. Apparently, it was a common name.
Reprimanded by the Chachamim.
Ivu afkid kitna bei Runya. He deposited flax for safekeeping by Runya. Ozel Shabu shamtemine, but Shabu, a known ganav of those times, came and stole the flax from Runya's house. Well, Soif Hooker a ganav. Eventually, they found the ganav, and now we have to take him to Beis Din. Who's going to be responsible to take him to Beis Din, Runya or Ivu? Also, so the case came to Reb Nachman, Chayve, and Reb Nachman required that Runya is going to have to pay, and then he's going to have to pay because, in other words, he'll have to pay now, and then it's going to be his responsibility to take Shabu to Beis Din and force him to pay to get reimbursed. Rather than saying, in other words, that Runya should be able to wash his hands of the whole thing and say that you, Ivu, who own the flax, you go and deal with Shabu. No, it doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, Lema pliga de Rav Huna bar Oven. Does that mean that Rav Nachman disagrees with something that Rav Huna bar Oven says? The Sholach Rav Huna bar Oven, Nignava Ba'onis, if the animal was stolen Ba'onis, Ba'achaka Hukar Aganav, and later on we caught the Ganav, Im Shomer Chinam Hu, so if the Shomer is a Shomer Chinam, Rotza Nishba, he could swear that it was stolen in the first place, because a Shomer Sachar, he's Potter for Gneva. So he could do that, and then he'll be out of the picture, and the owner will deal with the ganav. Rotza oisa imedin. But if he wants, then he could arrange to pay the balabas to pay, and then take the ganav to Beis Din. Or Oysa Imadim can mean that he'll take the ganav directly to Beis Din, whatever. The point is he can choose to do that. But if he's a Shemesacha, Oysa Imadim, he has to do a din with him in a nishba. He can't swear because it's a Shemesacha. He's Chayim Gnev Vaveda. So he has to pay the balabos, and then he's going to have to deal with getting the money back from the ganav. Now over here, Runya was a Shemachinam. So why is Reb Nachman requiring him to go and pay to pay Ivu, the owner of the flax, and then go get reimbursed by Shabu? So Omar Rava Hosam Gavri de Pamus Gavu Kaim, because, and this is the connection with our Sugya, in that case, there were people of Pamuska over there. Rashi explains Pamuska means the government. There were government people over there, soldiers or police or whatever, who were nearby who could have prevented it. Rabbeinu Hananel says a different thing, that it means just strong, tough people were there. The Iroma Kola, if Runya had called out for them to help, I would also they would have come and saved him and prevented Shabu from taking it in the first place. And therefore, in other words, it's considered Pshia, the fact that he didn't do that. So that's the connection, the previous piece about the shepherd, that we have to evaluate whether he could have saved, whether the situation is that he could have saved it. Here the situation is, Reb Nachman is saying that Runya could easily have saved it by calling out to these people of Pamuska, and therefore he didn't, and therefore it's considered Pshia, and therefore he'd be chayev. But otherwise, yes, as a Shemachinam, he wouldn't have had to, Tosfa says, even if Loihuk or Aganav, really, even if we never caught the Ganav, then Runya would still be chayev to pay, because the Shemachinam was Peshea. We're saying, Pukaraganav, Tosfa says, because the Talmidim who heard the story, they thought the only reason he's being Machayev him is because anyway, he can at least get his money back from Shabu. But Reb Nachman is telling them, no, this is an actual case of Pshia by Shemachinam. And regardless whether he's able to get the money back from Shabu or not, either way, as Shemachinam, who is Pshia, he's going to be Chayev to pay, because he could have easily prevented it by calling out to these government officials or whatever and having them stop the theft.